This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The president is in Brownsville, Texas, where he urged Congress to pass the bipartisan border bill.
The U.S. Senate needs to reconsider this bill, and those senators who oppose it need to set politics aside and pass it on merits, not on whether it's going to benefit one party or benefit the other party.
He also challenged former President Trump to get behind the bill. He is in Eagle Pass.
The United States is being overrun by the Biden migrant crime. It's a new form of vicious violation to our country.
In response to Trump's remarks, President Biden's campaign manager put out a statement saying, quote, "The truth is Donald Trump doesn't want to secure the border. He prefers chaos and cruelty because he's betting it helps him politically." Meanwhile, there's a deadly wildfire ripping through the Texas panhandle. CBS's Jason Allen is in the town of Fritz.
To battle the state's biggest wildfire in history, first responders drive through an inferno of smoke and flames. They weren't able to save Ryan Hightower's home.
I run to the door and I see it looked like Armageddon. It looked like the end of the world. It's heartbreaking, not just for me and my family, but all the other families that have lost.
The Smokehouse Creek fire began Monday and has devoured 1,700 square miles so far.
The big story in Northern California is a massive snowstorm that's on the way.
This blizzard will bring whiteout conditions and around 10 feet of snow to the Sierra over just a few days.
Kind of amazing that we're counting accumulations in feet rather than inches, but it's one of those epic storms.
National Weather Service forecaster Dave Rowe has this advice for mountain residents.
You know, you have your firewood in your stove going and just hunker down for the weekend.
The cold front could even bring a dusting of snow to the highest peaks in the San Francisco Bay Area. Matt Bigler for CBS News, Oakland, California.
A new study found any pot use is linked to a higher risk of heart attack and stroke. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
In the case of edibles, you have THC. THC alone, whether you smoke it, you vape it, you eat it. THC alone also has effects on the cardiovascular system, which can lead to an increased risk of heart attack and stroke.
A warning from Chick-fil-A: if you have a stash of leftover fast food sauces at home or at your office, throw away their Polynesian sauce. Company says some of the dipping cups from the past 2 weeks may not be Polynesian sauce. Instead, might be another sauce that has wheat and soy allergens. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 47 points, NASDAQ up 144, S&P 500 up 27. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Wisconsin next week. She'll highlight the Biden administration's efforts to promote union job growth and apprenticeship programs while in Madison. Harris was in Waukesha County in January as part of a string of visits from top White House officials ahead of the presidential campaign. Electric buses are becoming more common in Wisconsin, but there's still a ways to go. Susan Mudd is an advocate with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She admits charging stations for buses require more infrastructure than for cars.
It definitely requires more equipment, may require transformer upgrades, and that is more costly.
Wisconsin got more than $25 million in federal support 2 years ago to replace 65 diesel school buses with electric ones. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Marquette with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The number 5 ranked Marquette Golden Eagles ran away with a 91-69 win over the Providence Friars. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Providence is a very physical team, an aggressive team. It got a little chippy out there at times, but you know, just proud of our guys' effort and connectivity.
Tyler Kolek had to leave the game with a possible oblique injury. The Badgers are back, getting ready to host number 13th ranked Illinois Saturday at noon at the Kohl Center. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-1 loss to the Chicago Cubs. Milwaukee now 1-4 in Cactus League games. But manager Pat Murphy says there are encouraging signs.
There's some great stuff every day. You know, again, we're playing guys that might be in double A. We're playing guys that might not be with the Brewers. We're not playing to win, and we hope we win. You know, that feels better, but this has no effect. It's about how the guys are playing.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear and not as cold tonight, a low in the low 30s. Sunny and even warmer tomorrow, a little breezy, high upper 50s. Close to 60 and a mix of sun and clouds Saturday, near 70 Sunday. The wind picks up Sunday afternoon. That'll lead to a chance of rain Sunday night. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On Friday, you cannot miss my interview with Chef Leon of Milwaukee's Amelinda Restaurant.
Weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Hope everyone's having a great day. It's our last cold day here in Wisconsin, at least through the weekend. It felt like winter again a little bit on this festive leap day. It is officially leap day, February 29th. Those of you with birthdays, congratulations. There's a lot of stuff. It's got to be so weird having a birthday. Have you come around at all, Conrad, on February 29th?
I mean, it was just another day for me. I didn't do anything special.
No, you and your mom made that abundantly clear last night that it's just another day.
It is. I mean, hey, I got to keep my rent money for one more day. So.
All right. So there you go. So you scoff at the day. But if you put that in an offshore account, you could have made 0.00001 cent.
Well.
Thanks to Leap Day.
Like, yeah, that could have made me 1 cent richer.
That's right. Well, if you accumulate several leap days over the course of your life. Either way, it's leap day. So happy leap day, everybody. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight. Got a really fun show tonight. It's so, you know, when you're putting a show together like this, you're constantly like, what are people going to be interested in? What should we talk about? What do we do? Well, I'm looking around today. And I noticed it was actor Dennis Farina. It was his birthday today. And he passed away, I want to say, in 2013, I think. 69, maybe 70 years old. Great actor. Chicago stage actor turned film and TV actor. He also happened to be my Little League coach when I was a kid. His son Mike was in my grade. We went to a school called Our Lady of Victory, and then I moved shortly after, and we sort of lost touch. But I always remember, after I left, Dennis was a cop in Chicago, and I knew that he was had started to do theater at night. And another friend of mine, Billy Amato, as I take a trip down memory lane here, told me that Dennis got involved in theater. And then he was on a show called Crime Story. And then I just kind of followed his career, and I thought it was really cool. And he was kind of an inspiration for me. There are two or three people that really kind of just stuck with me, that they were in show business and making a living. And I thought, oh, maybe I could do this. And I tried it, and I owe a debt of gratitude to Dennis Farina because he was a Northwest Side of Chicago guy, made good, and he was a very good actor. So we're going to talk to Joe Farina in the 8 o'clock hour, right at the top of the hour. We'll talk to him a little bit about his dad. Joe is an accomplished actor himself in Chicago and a very talented guy. And I'm excited to talk to Joe. I kind of added him to the show just today, and he was gracious enough to come on. So we'll talk to Joe at 8:05. Ron Book is here. Ron Books is here. He is the VP of the Wisconsin area music industry. So it'll be fun to talk to Ron about music and the music scene here in Northeast Wisconsin, as well as the state. He'll be along shortly. And then also I have author Brett Kissinger will be on. He is an Algoma-based or Kewaunee County-based. I don't know that he lives right in Algoma. But he has published, I think, 4 books now. They're all available on Amazon. We'll talk to Brett about the writing process. Having written screenplays, I'm fascinated by people who undertake the novel experience. I wouldn't even know where to begin if I wrote a novel. So I'm excited to talk to Brett. He will be here in studio as well. Ron, we'll talk to Joe over the phone. Fun show. We'll talk a little movies, a little acting, a little music. We got it all, folks. It's also National Toast Day. What do you think they mean by that, Conrad? Like
toast
of a toaster, or like a wedding toast?
Or like you toasted the person behind you on the freeway?
Yes. Okay. I was thinking like a wide receiver.
Okay, yeah.
A cornerback got burned, but I don't think they'd have a day to celebrate. You know, they have days for everything else, though.
Yeah, they do.
Every TikToker and, quote, influencer, end quote.
Lil Poopy, remember him?
Lil Poopy, right. You got to get Lil Poopy on the show. Did you take a memo when we first talked about that?
Yeah, I couldn't get in contact with him.
He's tough to get a hold of.
Lil Poopy has so much going on.
Big Poopy is, like, guarding the gate to the Lil Poopy empire. He was a rapper, right?
Yeah, he was.
Some kind of... performance art. Yeah, that was kind of funny. That was one of the more different names we've encountered. So how often do you get to say this, though? It's Thursday, February 29th. Here's our question tonight. Are you ready to take text, Conrad?
I'm ready.
He's standing by. We got a new phone number, second night only with the number. It should be National New Phone Number Day today. We would celebrate the crap out of that day. Which actor or actress is equally good playing a hero or a villain? That is tonight's question. What actor or actress is equally as talented playing good or bad? I'll throw one out there. Gene Hackman. One of my all-time favorite actors, but he plays a great villain. He also plays a great hero. He was like a hero in Mississippi Burning, in Hoosiers. And he was kind of both in The French Connection. He was a cop, but he played kind of a rough around the edges, push the limits type cop too. So my vote is Gene Hackman.
I'm going to say Elizabeth Olsen.
Olsen.
With her role in the Marvel Universe.
Who does she play?
She plays the Scarlet Witch, which is a villain.
Okay.
But before that, she plays something else. And yeah, I think she does both, good at both.
She's a good actor.
Yeah, she really is.
I just was not as familiar with all of her roles. I have not seen her in a ton of things, maybe just a couple things, but that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the Marvel films, Conrad?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's like one of my favorites besides Star Wars.
And DC too?
I haven't
like
watched.
Pick a side, like East Coast, West Coast, or you get involved in that?
No, I mean, I like DC stuff as well, but okay. I haven't watched all of the DC stuff because they have way more stuff than Marvel does.
Yeah, they do, but not lately, really, though, right?
Yeah, but if you go into their like cartoons that they have,
oh, that's true.
So many spinoffs. Batman has like a show with every single superhero.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty cool. All right, so that's my... Conrad says Elizabeth Olsen. I say Gene Hackman. The question is, what actor or actress is equally good playing hero or villain? The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know your thoughts. You can also reach us via text message. We are on statewide in Wisconsin, so you can click on any of the stations and a little icon will appear and you can shoot off a text and give us your vote. We'll read it on the air and it will be fun. You can also watch us on the stream. Conrad, how do they find us on the stream?
Well, you can go to Facebook. We have two streams on Facebook. You can go to WGBW Facebook page or the Nightlight with Peach Wabba Facebook page. Or you can go to YouTube with Civic Media. Or you can go on Twix, WGBW.
Twix, formerly known as X, formerly known as Twitter.
Formerly known as MySpace.
Formerly known as Friendster. We could do this all night. Come on, buddy, bring it. You probably never even heard of Friendster, did you?
I have.
Oh, have you?
Okay. Yeah.
I never joined. I thought it was so weird. Like, when all these social media things started, I was kind of like, whatever, man. Okay, is that where you're going for friends? And now it's like, it's all become the norm. Whether it's dating or chatting or, it's just crazy. And I scoffed at Friendster.
I think I was 13 when I joined Facebook.
Okay. Did you have to get like a fake ID to do it? Or
I put my birthday as like 1992 or something.
So you lied.
Well, I wanted a Facebook. All my friends were on it.
Listen, I will make a citizen's arrest, and I don't care if you're running the show or not, buddy. I will run you in.
I think it says I'm like 30, 31 or something on Facebook.
You could pull it off. You're mature enough. I don't think anyone would question that. Did we talk about Liam Neeson last night? Liam Neeson has been tabbed. He's going to be in Naked Gun, the remake. And I assume he's playing the Leslie Nielsen character. And it will be nice to see Liam Neeson in a movie where he's not avenging his family or killing people. Or maybe they wrote that into the new Naked Gun. Maybe he kills everybody. And they'll find a way to make that funny. He's such a phenomenal actor, though. I'm sure he can pull it off. And I saw this yesterday, and I didn't bring this up. You probably don't remember this, Conrad. I know you don't remember this because you were probably still in utero. But Dennis Miller, you familiar with his work?
Definitely not.
Okay. Used to be a great stand-up comic. Maybe he still is. I know he's like a right-wing talker now. But he was a great stand-up at one point. And like I say, I don't even know if he's still touring anymore. He joined the Monday Night Football cast as one of the color commentary guys in 2002. And the move just got, people hated it. And it wasn't his fault, but he was kind of made the villain. And as years go by, I kind of thought that was a gutsy move by ABC to put a comedian in the booth. Didn't work. So what?
I wish I could have seen that, actually.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, the pressure was on him because he had to crack a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
He probably was trying to force them like any comic would. But I didn't mind the move. It didn't work. But I like people who think outside the box like that. I think it's kind of cool. So when we come back, we're going to play. I've got a couple clips of one of my all-time favorite movies that I've seen with my son probably 50 times now is Midnight Run. And our birthday celebrant tonight is Dennis Farina, who passed away in 2013. We're going to play a couple clips of his from Midnight Run. We will talk about just a whole bunch of stuff. I can't even. We got a lot to get to. Conrad, are you ready?
I think so.
You might want to stretch out. This is going to get serious.
I got to stretch my thumbs.
Yeah.
My legs.
Kidding around is pretty much over. Brett Kissinger is here tonight. Joe Farina joins us. And Ron Books will be here shortly, too. Lots to do still. We'll read your text next. A Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. Fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burned.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
From the 920, Willem Dafoe. That's a great one. Our question tonight is, what actor or actress is equally as good playing hero or villain? I said Gene Hackman. Conrad said Elizabeth Olsen. That's the first time, Conrad, by the way, I think you did not say Kate McKinnon.
Honestly, she was a villain in Barbie, wasn't she?
Kinda.
Yeah, a little bit.
I guess a little bit,
well,
yeah.
She's done so many roles on SNL, she's probably done a villain or hero in some of them.
You know,
so I'm changing my answer, actually.
Listen,
Kate McKinnon.
If she starts slowing down in her career, you might have a shot with her. That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
You don't have a prayer. None of us do when they're famous, but if she starts slowing down.
I'm just going to keep DMing her on Instagram, all right?
Yeah, that'll do it. If you want a restraining order, that's the way to go. But Willem Dafoe from the 920, that is an excellent answer. And they elaborate saying he was the hero in Platoon. And then everything else, yeah. He mostly plays a villain, but he's a great actor. Appleton's own, Willem Dafoe. And then from the stream, Amanda Nimmer says, Petey Pete. I don't know if that's a vote for our question tonight or if she's just shouting my name. All caps.
Well, did you have any villain roles?
Not really. I haven't had enough roles. But maybe she's having cocktails, and that's why she put it all in caps. Joseph A. Farina, looking forward to the interview. Us too, Joe. Be good to talk to you. Jody. Joe is up at 8:05, by the way. He'll be on. We'll be talking about his dad, the great actor Dennis Farina. It's his birthday today. Jody says, Nightlight, I'm all right. You should know that about me. I'm always all right. That's the second cool message Jody has sent us. And that is a J-O, correct? Not a J.
Yeah.
Keep the studio dark because it's Nightlight and sometimes I can't see. But he had a cool text last night, too.
You said Jody Cubed last night, right?
I said Jody Cubed. That's
there
right.
You go.
Well done. he almost has like a Matthew McConaughey type vibe. Nightlight, I'm all right. You should know that about me. I'm always all right. And he also says, love Dennis. Yes. I assume he means Dennis Farina and not Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football. Speaking of Dennis Farina, let's go to, let's play... We have a couple clips from Midnight Run. If you have not seen Midnight Run, it came out, I think, in 1987. It stars Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro, and they are absolutely outstanding in the movie. And the way they play off each other, so brilliant. There's moments that, you know, there's gunfights, there's some great acting, there's laughs. There's a couple moments I actually got choked up, specifically at the end of the film. When they're saying goodbye, and when Robert De Niro sees his estranged daughter, there's a very touching moment. But it's two excellent actors playing off each other, and then the villain is played by Dennis Farina, also an excellent actor. And so, again, you know what? He would be a great... Let's add Dennis Farina to the villain and the hero, because he's done both and done them both very well. He was the bad guy in Midnight Run. And in Get Shorty, he was hilarious. But he was a good guy in Manhunter. And Crime Story, he played a cop. Law and Order, he played a cop. I want to say he replaced Lenny Briscoe maybe right away. But anyway, this is Dennis Farina from Midnight Run.
Put more on number two on the phone.
Yeah, Jimmy, he's right here. Hold on. He's pissed. Yeah.
I thought you told me this guy was going to be on the plane.
That's the information we got, Jimmy.
That's the information we got. I'm going to tell you something. I want this guy taken out, and I want him taken out fast. You and that other dummy better start getting more personally involved in your work, or I'm going to stab you through the heart with a pencil. Do you understand me?
You got it, Jimmy.
We can't say flipping. Doesn't he say stab you through the heart with a flipping pencil? That's Dennis Farina trying to kill his character, trying to kill Robert De Niro's character, because Robert De Niro's character years ago would not go on the payroll. Dennis Farina's character owned the town of Chicago, and all the cops who were on the take, Robert De Niro refused to do that. He got run out of town, and now their paths cross again in Midnight Run. Let's hear another clip from Midnight Run, Conrad.
You hanging around for it? Take a walk.
I heard somebody picked up Mardukas in New York.
It's old news, Sidney. I'm already on it.
I don't have to tell you what'll happen if he becomes a government witness.
I can assure you that will not be the case.
Yeah, I assumed you were taking that position, but I am supposed to advise you against such acts.
Sidney, relax. Have a cream soda. Everything is going to be all over with in a few minutes.
Sorry, Jimmy. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen? Say that again, Tony.
It just didn't happen. I mean, there was cops all over the place. There was a million feds all over. Jimmy, it was a mess.
You better get off the line, Jimmy.
Sidney?
If they've got a tap on that line there...
Sidney, shut your f***ing mouth. Now listen to me, dummy. Do they have Mardukas in custody or not?
I don't... Jimmy, I don't know. I mean, the cops are swarming all over the place.
We couldn't see anything.
Let me tell you two stupid something.
I don't want to get another phone call like this, because if I do...
I'm going to get on a f***ing plane, and I'm going to blowtorch the both of you. Do you understand?
You're going to stop. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to Jimmy. What are you doing?
I should have killed Walsh in Chicago a long time ago. Don't say a word to me, Sidney. Don't say a word to me. I'll get up and I'll bury this telephone in your head.
Such a great scene. It's funny, but it's so real, too, because it sounds like he's saying these lines off the top of his head. Because they're not like musical. It's I'll bash your head. I'll stab you in the head with a pencil. Do we have the other? Let's play the third one, too. This is one of my favorite lines from Jimmy Serrano in the movie. Play by
I don't James understand Paul. The problem with you two. The guy's a... Accountant.
Jimmy, it's been bad luck right down the line. Plus, this guy Walsh is pretty good.
If he's that good, Tony, maybe I should hire him to hit you.
I hope there's no chance of any of this coming back to Jimmy.
No chance. He rented the chopper out of Kansas City.
It's five times removed from you, so you're clear of this. Don't worry.
I'm clear as
Jimmy!
Fucking moron. The guy is still out there, ain't he? Let me tell you two guys something. I'm not interested in seeing either one of you two alive again until you get the accountant. You got the message?
All right. This is it. Tonight is the night. You understand? I'm sick of all of these screw-ups. As soon as I get the discs from Walsh, you guys drop Walsh and you drop the Duke. Do you understand? I get the discs, you drop them, okay?
I don't think you should do this.
Oh, really? What do you propose that I do?
I send somebody with a cash offer, but don't do this.
I know Walsh. He won't take any money from me. He's a very self-righteous type of guy. It aggravates me. In his mind, this is clean. He gets what he wants, I get what I want. The guy's a... burnout, Sidney.
Hey, Jimmy.
Sidney,
to me,
sit down, relax, have a sandwich, drink a glass of milk, do some thing, will you?
Have a sandwich, drink a glass of milk. It's so real. It's just, it's phenomenal. Well written, well acted. One of my all-time favorite movies. The attorney is played by Philip Baker Hall, also a phenomenal actor. Loved him in Heart 8. He also played a librarian on Seinfeld. Or the head of the Library Association, named Bookman. Such a good actor. And that movie's tons of great actors in it. Jody says, Serrano's got the discs. One of those great lines from Midnight Run. He also says, Dennis was a Chicago cop. Yes, he was. Code of Silence. I don't remember Code of Silence. I'll have to check it out. Thank you, Jody. Jody Cubed. Just faster, Conrad. Conrad, are you still here? Okay.
I had to take a powder. I'm sorry.
You took a powder on me. Okay. All right. Hey, we are moving along, folks. Our question, real quick, once again, what actor or actress is equally as good playing a hero or villain? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Coming up next, local boy turned author done good. I think I... murdered that. Brett Kissinger will be up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's urging Congress to pass legislation to beef up the southern border after meeting with Border Patrol and local officials today in Brownsville.
The Speaker of the House needs to put this bill on the floor, because if he put it on the floor unrestricted, it would pass.
Former President Trump was also in Texas today addressing immigration issues in Eagle Pass.
3 years ago, we had the most secure border in history. We had the most secure border, and people weren't coming because they knew they weren't going to get in.
He blamed Biden for a record number of migrant crossings. At least five wildfires are still raging in Texas, including the Smokehouse Creek fire, where Jason Wilhelm and his wife lost their home. He says they scrambled to grab whatever they could.
She got a bunch of pictures. She got some money that we had saved up, and just a lot of sentimental things, blankets, pictures.
That fire has now burned more than a million acres so far. At least one person died in another fire near it. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A conservative law firm is asking the universities of Wisconsin to end their race-based awards and fellowships. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty claims the Board of Regents' 2024 Diversity Awards are unconstitutional because they leave some students out. Will says the UW is ignoring a U.S. Supreme Court ruling to end race-based programs. The search for a missing 3-year-old boy from Two Rivers is in its second week. Elijah Vu's grandmother made an emotional plea at a press conference Tuesday.
I want everybody to continue to hold us, to look for my grandson.
The police chief in Two Rivers says he's very concerned that Elijah Vu has been missing for this long. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear and not as cold tonight, a low in the low 30s. Sunny and even warmer tomorrow, a little breezy, high upper 50s. Close to 60 and a mix of sun and clouds Saturday, near 70 Sunday. The wind picks up Sunday afternoon. That'll lead to a chance of rain Sunday night. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5, The Tap, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5, The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Conrad's mom weighing in on tonight's question, as she usually does. Paula says, Kathy Bates. That is a great answer, too. And then Conrad's dad, Steve, says, from the past, Fred McMurray. You know what? I got to be honest, Steve. I'm going to have to IMDb Fred McMurray and find out what roles he played, because I don't remember if it's the Fred McMurray from My Three Sons, I would assume. But I'm going to have to look that one up. Great answers, as usual. Hey, we're going to turn our attention from movie writing or movie and TV for the moment to book writing. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show a local author. I was correct. He lives in Algoma. And he made the long drive into the station tonight. Brett Kissinger. Good to have you here, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. So, all right, let's tell the story about how we met. It was over Facebook.
Correct. We actually had the same Catholic priest.
I knew it. Okay.
Yeah, he actually gave
Bill
me your
Switchenberg.
Name. Yep.
Father Bill.
Yep. Father Bill.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Love him. He taught us religion.
Yep.
And I don't know if he enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Because our class was kind of rowdy and he was so patient. He was like so flustered, but then he'd be patient. He was just a good guy, you know? He deserved better than a bunch of jerky high school seniors.
Yeah. Probably would have preferred you could smack people with rulers and that kind of went away.
He became a priest at the wrong time. That's what you're saying. Right. Yeah. No, tell him I said hello. Are you in touch with him?
Still? No, he's not the pastor or the priest anymore. No.
Oh, so you're not related to him?
No.
Cause I went to college with a guy at DePaul. Bill Griesbach was his name. And he was related to Father Bill. And Bill was from the West Coast. He was like from Tulare, California or something like that. It was the craziest.
Small world.
It is. I've met like four or five people that know Father Bill. I don't know. Maybe that's God's way of trying to tell me something. But that's not why you're here.
No.
So Brett and I had just finished making a film, The Godfather of Green Bay, that I shot, part of which I shot here in Northeast Wisconsin. You were an aspiring screenwriter at the time, but you transitioned over to book writing.
Correct. Yep.
Tell me why you did that and how that happened.
So my first love was screenplay writing. I grew up with the John Hughes movies, and I loved 80s comedies, and that's what I was kind of writing.
Okay.
And there's like the saying in Hollywood that you can't sell a screenplay until you have an agent. Can't get an agent until you sell a screenplay. Rejection over and over and over wasn't something I was really...
Too keen on.
I came across this idea that I knew would be too long for a screenplay, which is normally 120 pages. And I was like, well, there's no way I'm getting this thing under 400 pages.
Oh, wow.
So that was my first book, Forever Fleeting. So I made the natural transition of writing 80s comedy to writing World War II historical fiction, right? So
no,
that's
kidding.
Yeah.
So, okay. Also in your bio, Brett, I saw that you came out of the movie Titanic at 9 years old. And you decided you wanted to be a writer. So what was it about Titanic that sort of moved you to do that?
So I can remember walking into the theater. It was a packed house, everybody strangers. And over the course of 3 hours, everybody experienced something that made them laugh, made them cry. And at the end of it, you felt less like you were strangers and more that you'd experienced something together. And even at 9, I'd heard the story of the Titanic and, oh yeah, it's sad. People died. And then you see it and experience it and you're like, oh man, I didn't give this the reverence that it deserved.
Wow.
And at that moment, I just knew like I wanted to trick people into learning about history and move them through fictional characters, but in a realistic real life setting of actual events.
That's really interesting. So your books are historical fiction primarily?
Primarily, I have one that's a murder mystery thriller.
Okay, love it. Do I get a free copy for having you on the show?
Sure.
I didn't mean to make things awkward.
No, yeah, okay. Certainly.
Conrad, take a memo. I get a free copy.
What about two?
I will give you my copy. Is it hardcover or paperback?
Paperback.
All right, paperback. We could share it, Conrad.
All right.
So How do you know, Brett, as a writer, and especially like, I've only written screenplays. I can't imagine sitting down to write a novel. You just don't have the parameters. I don't think anyway that screenplays do. Screenplays, you got to hit this beat by page 30. You got to hit this, wrap the second act up by 80 or 90. Is it this? Are there those kind of tent poles in book writing?
Yeah, there are.
Really?
In screenplay writing, you write what you see, what you hear. That's what you're limited to. In fiction writing, in writing a book, you're basically unlimited. You could be God in your book, and you can be in everybody's thoughts, or you could choose one character. So you really have to set off, what's your point of view? Are you going to be bouncing in and out of people's heads? But there are those action points that you need to hit. First line is everything. You have to hook them right away.
Yeah.
We've all been in a bookstore. You judge a book by its cover. That's one of the stupidest sayings I think that's ever been created, is we don't judge a book by its cover. We do every time
we
look at a book. Yeah. And we pick it up, read the back cover blurb, we read the first couple sentences, and if we're not hooked, it's game over.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting what you said about Titanic, because I think, to me, that is the great thing about entertainment or movies or TV or theater or a concert. It does bring us together. We have a experience of community, you know, whether it's local theater or a movie or even reading a book that we can talk about. You feel like you're connected with someone. And sports kind of has that too. We all kind of come together around these mediums, so to speak. So I guess what I'm telling you is you're doing God's work, not just because you're related to Father Bill.
Yeah.
So how do you write? What is your process? Are you like one of these guys, you pull a Jack Kerouac and you're up for a week straight drinking coffee, writing, or do you write for 3 hours a day? What is your process?
I'm more of the latter, and I wish I was a better schemer, plotter. I've tried that. To me, it kind of takes away the excitement of writing, where you don't really know where your story's going until you get there.
Okay.
I do, my first draft is very bare bones. It's pretty appalling. I'll do a second draft in which I add some meat and really kind of evaluate what is the heart of the story, what's the action of the story. I'll let it sit on the back burner for a week or so, look at it with fresh eyes. You go through that period where, oh my God, I just surpassed Hemingway. This is amazing. And then you go through that period where you're like, I need to burn this and scatter the ashes, you know?
So never write again.
Exactly. So you're balancing that Jekyll and Hyde.
I just want
mentality.
To do nails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're more disciplined. You write every day for a certain amount of time. How long does it take you to get a first draft of a book?
Depends. I would say 2 to 3 months. I like the Stephen King line where he said, there's a lot of writers that carry around notebooks and write their ideas down. He said that's a great way to immortalize bad ideas. The best ideas are the ones that stick with you. You know, you're up at night, you're thinking like, do I have something here? And if it stays and gnaws on your mind, then you know you have something that's worth pursuing. Because I've had great ideas and I sit out to write and I'm like, I guess I had a good couple of sentences and I didn't really have a story for this. But
it's interesting. I went and saw Paul Schrader talk once at the Writers Guild. And he wrote Taxi Driver and a ton of other stuff. Very great writer. But he says, two things he said stuck out with me. He says, write drunk, edit sober.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I don't know if he actually does that. And the other thing he said was he doesn't like it when people say, this is my book I've written, or my screenplay. I finally got through it. It took me 4 years. He said, I literally roll my eyes and I'm like, oh no. He said he would much rather have someone give him something and says, I stayed up all weekend writing this, because that meant you were more charged and you were more inspired. Do you have those type of ideas, or do you stick with something that you're writing even if you're not feeling it right away?
I've put things on the back burner if I hit a brick wall, but mostly I do try to power through. I never really suffer from writer's block.
Nice.
I do like writing and putting characters in situations. I kind of live by the adage, what's the worst thing that can happen to my character? And then I do it.
Yeah.
And then you feel guilty. It sounds psychotic because these are fictional characters, but
right.
You know, my first book, it takes place during the onset of World War II. So I kind of use the history of, you know, that on September 1st, 1939, Germany's going to invade Poland. And my story starts in 1938. You've got that ticking time bomb in the background of like, we're getting closer and closer to World War II. I know things aren't going to be that great, even though they are now.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point in my book where just I have to put my characters through truly horrible things.
Well, right. That's what there's where you get your drama from, right? And your character arc, so to speak. And so is that Forever Fleeting you're talking about, the book?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Tell us about, you got four books on Amazon. Tell us about Forever Fleeting first.
So that was the one that I knew I had to steer away from a screenplay and go to the novel route. I knew I wanted to be able to truly bring alive the war in a way that a screenplay, you're limited. I mean, obviously, if it became a movie, you've got music, you've got special effects. That's unbelievable. But I had the idea of a young romance between a Jewish girl and a German boy and just the innocent love they had. And then World War II breaks out, and I don't want to give too much away, but they both go through just horrible atrocities. And researching that was very hard. I listened to a lot of Holocaust testimonials. What got me through it were the tidbits of humanity that I found of people that you like to think that you would do these things if you're in that situation, but we don't know until we're in that spot. And I was incredibly moved about a story of a young girl that her uniform didn't fit, the striped pajamas and the wooden clogs they gave her, and her feet were killing her. And this guy had stolen a pair of wooden clogs and tossed them over a fence for her. And if he would have been caught, he would have been killed. And he didn't know this girl. He did this little act of humanity. And that's the things that power you through when you read these horrible things. Or for every bad thing that was committed, there was somebody that was truly heroic and selfless and did such an incredibly honorable thing.
That's really cool. Is that the kind of thing you hear and you go, I can write a book around this? Is sometimes you start with an idea or something that happened that could just be a scene in the book, if not the overall theme?
Well, I think I've always loved history, but I think most people kind of get nauseous when they think about it. They picture that black and white blurry photo.
Yeah.
And if I showed you a picture of a cattle cart full of Jewish people, you're not going to get the reality of what that was like. You're not going to know that it was hot as an oven in there. You went to the bathroom in a bucket that was passed around. There's 100 people jammed packed. You can't even fall over. People are dying of exhaustion. You're smelly. You're not eating. And then you get to these camps and you're giving watered down coffee. You're given a slice of sausage and a piece of bread to eat all day. And you're doing 14 hours of hard work. You can't appreciate that through a picture.
Right.
So my goal is to remove the filter as much as I can to make you experience what these people went through. And that, to me, is, I think, why somebody like Anne Frank is so revered today, is she represents, if I told you over 6 million people died in the Holocaust, well, that's sad. But when you break it down to and you show one family, and you realize, like, oh, my God, this is truly horrible. Now multiply that by 6 million.
By 6 million. Wow.
And I think that's the power of storytelling, is you can teach people through a smaller lens, show them day-to-day life of a character that represents millions of people in that time period.
Well said. It's funny you say that, like, you like to think you would have done that. Don't you love when you meet people and they say, well, I would have done this. Like, yeah, you really don't know that.
Right. Like, and it happened in stages, too, you know?
Yeah. I don't even just mean the Holocaust. Yeah. I remember the tsunami years ago. The guy's like, what are they doing? Why didn't they get out of there? They didn't think the water was coming. Like, you wouldn't have known either.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's just that people like that crack me up.
Yeah. We don't live life in the Zapruder film where we get to, like, slow it down and be like, he had 0.6 seconds to do something.
Right. Exactly. My guest is Brett Kissinger. He will be back. Kissinger, sorry. You're in no relation.
No relation.
We'll be back in just a minute to talk more to Brett about his process and his other books. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. Got another text here on the text line from 608. Aunt Carla listening. Hello, Aunt Carla. I agree with Brother Steve. Fred McMurray, an apartment. Not your my three sons' dad. That's right. And I forgot, I did IMDb this during the break. I totally forgot he was in Double Indemnity. And Carla continues, and my new leap day tradition is to find things I have been looking for. I found two. If I don't find them in another 4 years, they're classified lost. Conrad, your Aunt Carla puts a lot of thought into her text.
Yes, she does.
I mean, your whole family does, but she's always got, you know, that's great. And then some people listening on the stream, Sherry wants to know what's the title of the book. Sherry, the book we were just talking about is called
Forever Fleeting.
Forever Fleeting. She says, just went to Amazon and they don't have it. What? Does that mean it's sold out?
No, I don't think so. That'd be awesome. But no, it should be on there.
That'd be awesome. But where's my check?
Yeah.
But that's okay, Sherry. We've got some more books. We're going to talk to Brett. My guest is Brett Kissinger. He's an author. Based in Algoma, Wisconsin, who made the long trip into Green Bay, into the big city tonight to be on the show. So we're talking with Brett about his process and his books. Tell us about The Winter Tiger and the War Eagle.
That's my newest book. It takes place in World War II. The Winter Tiger and the War Eagle are monikers for the two main characters. Main character, the Winter Tiger, is a Soviet sniper, a female Soviet sniper. I don't think a lot of people know that the Soviets had women that were marksmen during the war, and some of their best snipers were actually female. And I got the idea for the book by reading a biography on a woman named Lyudmila Pavlichenko, who was the hero of Sevastopol. She was the second best sniper in the war. And it offered a unique perspective that I don't think a lot of people know about. The War Eagle is in reference to Reinhardt, who is a German Luftwaffe pilot. I wanted to showcase that not everyone that fought for Germany was a Nazi. A lot of them were just young men that were forced to fight.
Right.
They fought for their country. And these are two people on opposing sides of the war. They find themselves in Paris. They have a growing attraction, and they have to choose between what is decent and following their duty or their orders.
Do you have like a romance in a lot of your material?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that just like a mechanism to move the plot typically, or are you kind of like a romantic at heart?
I think I'm kind of romantic at heart, and I'm somebody that believes that any story has some element of love. I don't think love is always selfless. Love could be very selfish.
Yeah. You hear that, Conrad?
It could be a love of yourself. Yeah. It can be a love of money. I mean, I think any movie you could say is a love story, depending on how you look at it. But yeah, I just think it adds tension, it adds drama, and bringing them together slowly builds the tension, and then just keeping them apart keeps the tension.
Creates a great
plot tool, yeah.
My guest is Brett Kissinger. He is an author based in Algoma, Wisconsin. You can check him out on Amazon, B-R-E-T, and then Kissinger, like Henry Kissinger, no relation, he says. Is it hard to type all those Russian names?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You add like a month to the process.
Just, yeah.
Just using names like that.
Yeah. Top Russian baby names, 1930.
I got to tell you, you don't look like a typical writer. You kind of like, you're kind of a big dude. You look kind of, you look like you just came from the NFL combine here. And have you ever, did you used to be an actor?
No.
No. Okay. No. All right.
I am a behind the camera.
Behind the camera guy.
If there ever was. Yeah.
All right. Very good. So who are your influences, Brett?
John Hughes, which doesn't really, his style of filmmaking hasn't pertained to the works I've written so far. Most of them were movies. I grew up loving movies. I grew up with the age of historical dramas, Gladiator, Saving Private Ryan, sure. Forrest Gump, Braveheart. So Steven Spielberg, James Cameron, George Lucas. As far as authors, I was a Harry Potter kid. That gave me my love of reading. And I really don't think I would have gotten into reading without J.K. Rowling and her books.
Hmm.
But I try to read anything and everything now. I really love reading biographies. I think they're a good inspiration for books, and it's just, it's fascinating to read about some of the lives some people have lived.
Absolutely. So your other books are called The Final Edit and The Way of the Dodo Bird. Those are two of Brett's books. You can also check out Forever Fleeting, although apparently it's not on Amazon at the moment. And what's the Final Edit? Those are all available at Amazon. Just enter Brett's name, Brett Kissinger. That's what I did, and it came up. And
yeah,
all your stuff is right there. That's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool to get a copy of your book in your hand. It's
yeah. Are they selling well? Or you do you have to promote yourself?
Yeah, I try to promote myself. You can do ads on Amazon, but you know they sell a million books, so
yeah.
Definitely a dog-eat-dog world and very competitive and trying not to get lost on the page 79 of 10,000 pages of results, you know, so.
Yeah, right. Well, you could. This is a good thing to do, too, because you can option your own book and write it as a screenplay.
Yeah.
You got a built-in story there and an idea, yeah. And sometimes you can just sell the idea, so that's kind of cool, too. We just have about a minute left. What are you watching when you're done writing and your brain is fried? You know what's weird? I'm just going to tell you this. As a writer myself, I used to be a big reader. I was an English major in college. I loved to read until I became a writer. And I know you should read even more when you write because you get ideas. But my brain was so toast at the end of writing, I didn't want to read. Are you still a reader even though you write?
Yeah, I am more of a reader now.
Wow.
I actually don't read historical fiction. I don't want to be influenced too much. I think you can cross the line of flattery to imitation where you're kind of just stealing somebody's voice.
A little too close, yeah.
Generally, I've researched a lot of dark topics. I've actually joked I have to be on an FBI watch list. I've researched Nazis, mafia, serial killers.
Yeah. Put a man on them.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of offended that our national security hasn't been like...
They haven't showed up at your door. What are those guys doing?
Yeah, I always joke. They're like... Well, look at this guy's Googling again.
Oh, that's so funny.
Generally, after you listen, watch, read about all this dark stuff, I kind of go to a comedy before I go to bed, something light that's going to kind of switch the mood and make me laugh.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time tonight. It's great having you on the show. Keep up the good work and keep us posted on what you're working on.
I will. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's Brett Kissinger joining us here in studio at Nightlight to talk about his books, Algoma Kid Done Good. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm very excited for this next guest as well. Joe Farina will be here to talk about his acting career and his dad. This is Dennis Farina's birthday, the great actor. Joe will talk to us a little bit about his father's legacy as well. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Coming up on Friday on Matt and Air on Air 1033, we recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I hope you can join us.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.